So, hello, Alex.
Hello.
So we are having a little talk together about our paths, our dancing paths for the series of podcasts from the ICMTA, right?
Yeah, thanks for asking me. How brilliant to have a reason to have a good chat with you.
Yes, it's been a while. Yeah. So people ask me a lot, how did you found the dance, or did the dance found you? And I think it's just nice to start with that, have a little history of your path.
Little history, yeah, way back, isn't it, for both of us? So I was at art college, and I wasn't that close at the time to my mum particularly. We were sort of, she was doing her things that I was a bit dismissive of, all these therapy things that she did and things like that. And I was off doing fine art, printmaking, and seeing bands and living in a city in Manchester in the UK. And then I was starting to research about sacred dance for my dissertation that I was writing, and I thought, wait a minute, doesn't my mum do something like this? So I kind of went and talked to my mum, and she'd been dancing with Yakov and Susanna when they first started, because she'd met Susanna through Gestalt therapy. So at the time they were organizing and teaching five rhythms long before they set up their own school. And so the first thing I did was a cycles weekend in London with Gabrielle Roth and 120 people.
Oh my God, that's like a good start.
Cody Ryan was playing the drums, and I was just so heavenly, deep, all in, loving it at home. And I felt like she saw me all the way through, and that was like, I was just like, right, that's it. I found it. I was 22.
Wow, that's beautiful. And then?
I did some, my life fell apart a bit, maybe leaving art college and wondering what it is to be an artist, but also, you know, a bit of heartbreak and things. And I ended up moving back to Manchester. I did some workshops when I could with Susanna and Yakov. And when Gabrielle came back, I did mirrors. And I started teaching a dance class, which wasn't supposed to be five rhythms. My friend and I would teach it. And whenever she taught it, it would turn into a kind of metta bhavana kind of meditation, but slinky. And whenever I taught, it would turn into five rhythms. So then I told Gabrielle what was happening. You know, it wasn't in writing, but this was my practice. I was dancing all the time, and so then I had this quite amazing interaction with her, where she said, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, I love you, I'm honored, this is the right thing, when there's a next training then come. So that was my beginning, was in a way a bit more like people who are doing the space holding path now before they do the whole teacher training, that I was sort of teaching a creative thing, and then the five rhythms kept just coming in because they were so hugely alive in me and my practice.
Wow. And then we met in the training.
Yeah, there on the training, and we were more or less the same age, and it was great to meet there, wasn't it, at the beginning of 97. How did you begin then, before I met you?
I was in theater school, and I always wanted to go to be a dancer, but you know, in that time I only knew ballet or modern dance, and you had to start when you were six. So by the time I was 14, I thought, now I'm too old. And by the time I was 18, I thought, now I'm definitely too old. And then I went to theater school, and there we had some dance improvisation, and that woke me to like, oh, there is some possibility to express myself through movement. And then in the same week, I was doing my final theater play, directing a play, and I kept trying to make a choreography. You know, I was much more into movement and how bodies, and of course it was a performing and not like, well, you know, it was to be seen by others. But and then one woman who was acting in my play, she said, there is somebody coming to Amsterdam and I think you really like that. And that was Jakob. And then in the same week, somebody gave me the book of Gabrielle. I think you like this book. And then I went to dance with Jakob. And then back in the train, it was really funny because I realized I didn't have a train ticket. I forgot to buy a train ticket. And it was like a double train. And I saw the guy who came to check my ticket. I saw him coming in. And I hear this voice, you just move your feet. You can move your feet. Just move your feet. So I went walking through the whole train. So in a way, I was dancing through the train till we arrived at the station. And then in the evening, I wrote something down because I was in my final year of theater. I wrote something down. I want to do something with consciousness and with breath and with movement. And I didn't, it was not like I want to be a five rhythms teacher, you know. I didn't even know that. But
I had a little train thing as well that very first evening that I went to dance with Gabrielle in London. I felt so blown open by the end, and I kind of walked down to the tube and got on the tube, and I was just gazing into the eyes of all the people.
Oh yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. Wow.
Luckily nothing bad happened, but it was just like I was definitely in a you know, in quite an altered state, you know.
Yeah.
I remember that evening and just staring at these people with kind of eyes of love, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing how what gets awakened without us having any theory or knowledge about it, but that it's just suddenly the spirit, the body knows, like, this is what is needed now.
Yeah.
I remember in that first workshop also that because it was a heartbeat and there was this, and we did that thing up and down the floor, you know. So I was in the end, I already danced my journey, and then I was watching the other people coming in, and then at one point there was this woman and she stopped. She didn't move anymore and she was like really shouting. And I just came there to dance, you know. So I was I remember looking at her and I was like, yeah, but why don't you just keep moving? And just later I got in touch with like really big feelings, and you know that they come up when you move your body. But that first time I was totally innocent and yeah, just loving and enjoying it all.
Yeah. I remember there was a guy who once used to come to my Manchester class long, long time ago, and he would come kind of like in a shirt, you know. He probably would normally go to a nightclub, you know, and he kind of tried coming to the class, and then there was a guy who was really crying, you know, something had happened that had really touched him, and he was, and this the guy in the shirt came over to me and said, what's up with him? And I said, oh, well, you know, sometimes when we dance we can find a connection with our feelings, you know. He is okay, you know, he's just feeling upset. And this guy went, what can be done for him?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, it's like, it's sweet in a way when you have people who come in with these new eyes, a bit like we're talking about.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah.
It's still so valuable, isn't it, when someone comes in and they're like, well, oh, what can be done? And
yes, yeah.
So he doesn't actually need anything. He just needs the space that it's all right to have feelings, and that he feels all right to express them, you know?
That's big, huh? That's big. I mean, in that way, nothing changed really. There is still people, they, as soon as they feel a tear coming, they leave. And then I'm like, no, but actually that's what we invite, you know, that's what we welcome.
And it's, you know, like this last strange few years that we've had where people meet all the time, and then they begin to meet again in the dance space. And I don't know if you found this, but I found that when we returned after the pandemic, everything was a bit overwhelming for people at first, you know, having the loud music and all the other bodies, and trying to work out what was too close, or whether the window was open or something.
Yeah.
And then gradually you could sort of see people's nervous system kind of,
yes, totally, you know,
starting to relax again, and just finding the simplest human needs being met by time in these rooms, you know, where you can, oh, you can be yourself, you can witness by each other, you can find connection, you can express things. And what a strange situation for us all to have that kind of taken away or made so much more difficult and then returned, you know?
I just was teaching last weekend in the name of love, and that workshop, I kind of designed it during the pandemic, that I was like, well, what's happening to humanity, you know? It was really intense. It was really intense. Yeah.
You know, Gabrielle Roth used to talk a lot, didn't she, about that there was a time of chaos coming, that okay, we've had a couple of thousand years in staccato with this, the big daddy religions, she said, didn't she, and all that, and that there's a big time of chaos coming. And I can remember thinking, this was really interesting, and I really understood what she meant, you know. I didn't really think it was coming in our lifetime, and then here we are with you know, with climate change accelerating, and with so many things changing, and so many things that we thought we could rely on being revealed as not what we could rely on. And then, but we both know the power of chaos as a creative transformation force as well. So it's like, I feel like I keep kind of keep being reminded again and again that, oh yeah, I've been making friends with chaos for a long time, you know. I mean that each example of it in the rest of life is easy though, huh?
Yeah, it's different. It's different dancing chaos, or when it really hits in your life, right? It's if you say about climate change, I'm like, yeah, how, I'm curious, because it's a question I ask myself a lot, like how do we not so much bring on the dance floor what is happening in the world, but how do we integrate the dance and our struggles with the environment, with diversity, you know, with wars going on, you know, how do we, yeah, blend it in our experience without starting a political movement or something, you know?
Or without people, like you said, thinking, oh, I'm coming for a nice dance, and then straight away.
Yes.
You know, plunged into some very challenging exercise or something. I mean, I suppose I think that a lot of the benefits of dance practice are even more important, really, as things change. And to be able to connect with connect with ourselves and what we need, and connect with other people, maybe on the other side of a divide, one way or another, and still feel really connected, and to kind of keep practicing how to keep being creative as things change, all of these sorts of things, you know.
Yeah. And I always tell myself that, you know, when we do our work in a workshop with like, what, 25, 30 people, I always hope and somehow I trust that the work they do for themselves, it will ripple out to their surroundings, and therefore.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, I've been doing like outside of my dance work, so I've been volunteering with a charity that works with refugees here, and it's been like just one of the best things, really.
Are you dance with that? You dance with them?
No, mainly at the moment, I'm like, I've got a little 2-year-old that I'm babysitting quite a lot, little Syrian girl. So I babysit when her parents are having English lessons, and I'm organizing a lot of the volunteers as well. But my main favorite thing is being with her. But yeah. What I'm doing with her is feeding into my teaching a lot. Like at the moment, she's got those shoes that light up on the heels. So she's walking along, and she wants to see her heels all the time, you know, and so you're watching this. So I'm like bringing that into my group, you know, okay, we're moving the head, the spine and the heels, and we're going to do it like this, you know. And
what rhythm is that, Alex?
It's some kind of chaos flow.
Nice.
But I suppose, you know, it's good if things go both ways, I suppose, so that we can feel that the work that we do within the dance can ripple out, and also our different experiences in the world, whether it's with friends or the community where we live or our family, can keep
coming in,
informing us, so that we're not kind of too insular, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Inclusion.
Yeah. Not easy always, is it, that inclusion
piece? No, it's not easy. No, because it's, you only see what you know, right? And if you're used to a certain kind of people or then you only see that in a way.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to open up, to make the dance floor as inclusive as possible, however we do that, to learn from each other and to be open.
I had an interesting thing this year, because I realized, like, apart from my little classes here where I live, I've not been teaching a city class, or not been teaching very many beginners, because I've had a lot of 4 or 5 day workshops, things like that. So you're not getting as many new people. So I decided to teach at a festival. So it was at a music festival, and a friend was organizing one field within the festival. So we had all the live music, you know, I had Joe and Jake and Simon, we had all these percussions set up, and I did 4 sessions at a festival. And I said to the people that were helping, look, please, you can explain a bit what it is, but I just want people to be able to walk in, you know. So yeah. There's no point in teaching at a music festival and having it, pretending it's a class in a hall. No, it's, and so someone might come in for any 10 minutes of the session, and they might walk in with their baby or their dog or their beer or whatever. And I was like,
how
can we serve this situation?
Yes.
And it was quite a thing, but really exciting, you know, to have that challenge and to have the benefit of meeting all those people who didn't know what they were walking into. They just perhaps heard the drums or saw a load of people in there, thought they'd see what it was.
Yeah, beautiful. That reminds me, because I was just thinking while you were talking, it's like, we teach in so many different cultures, you know, because many of the teachers, they travel quite a bit. And a few years ago, I was in Jordan, And I was going to teach there a workshop, but I also wanted to do something for the community. You know, I thought I'm not just gonna go there and have a workshop for the people who can pay it, but something for the community. So the woman who organized me, like Randa, she's actually
she's a teacher now.
She organized some kind of workshop, a 2-hour class I don't even know exactly, but there was a lot of women. It was only women coming in. But they all came in with, I don't know how you say it in English. Help me.
Hijab or some sort of headscarf.
Yeah. Yes. And like long, long dresses, you know, and, you know, there was not a lot to be seen. So I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? And then they were all in. I think there was about 20, a bit more maybe. And then somebody closed the door and they said, okay, we start. And then all the clothes went off. It was so touching. And there they were in their leggings and in their, it was so touching. And they were like talking all the way through, you know, and normally you would say like, no, we're not talking, but it was so, but I thought, no, I just let them.
Yeah.
And it was so, so touching to see how they melted and how they enjoyed. And it was really, really beautiful. Yeah.
So, you know, we're so lucky when we get a chance to, you know, be invited into a different culture.
Exactly. That's what I love so much about the traveling. Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. It's so different from feeling like a tourist who's just following, you know, some sort of very outsider experience, you know, and to get invited to places and to be there, you know, right in people's lives. It's so lovely. And really, my international teaching started when you asked me to cover for you in Italy and 10 years ago. And I'm very grateful for that moment, because I did not know that I wanted that at all at that time.
And
then after I'd had that experience, it really woke something up in me a lot. And I love traveling and teaching. I love being able to just put down the you know, some of the things of being a mum and everything, and just put that down for a few days and to go and really inhabit a lot of different parts of myself and have that, you know, that very fortunate thing of meeting so many different people and doing the work that I love. I mean, thanks, Wilhelmine. That's been
that's nice. Well, very welcome. I try to plan my workshops a little bit more close to my home, so I can go there by train. I mean, still Europe, but I'm really looking for ways to travel by train. Because that is sometimes a little bit strange in our world, you know. That's when we trained, I mean, we flew over the whole world just to do a workshop and to receive trainings. It was really funny because it was just before COVID that I wrote in my newsletter, like, I can't do this anymore. So I will teach more, you know. And then I didn't fly for 2 years. But so that's a little bit like, oh yeah, how am I gonna do that? But the train is okay. I love train.
Yeah, trains are also okay. I love being in the sky though. You know,
yeah.
I really do love it when I'm sort of, so my teenager's still 14, nearly 15. So I'm sort of in that place of, I still need to go away and come back, you know. I can't really go and stay away for longer periods traveling between. So at the moment, I guess I'm still doing that quick go, quick come back sort of pattern quite a lot. And I'm hoping that in a few years it'll be really lovely to be able to maybe be away for 2 or 3 months and you know, just travel in a certain area, teaching and sketching and being with people, and not need to always be coming back here when no one particularly might need me in the same way.
Yeah. I'm curious because I noticed that, you know, we met when we started the Five Rhythms training. And over the years, I also trained the more shamanic practice, systemic ritual, and then open floor. And recently, I also became a trauma therapist. So I work also one-on-one with people. And I'm curious because I know you do the sketching, but you, of course we all kind of make a different blend of who we are and what we offer. So yeah, I'd like to go into that a little bit more. How does it? Because I know that the trauma therapy, for example, it's also about stuck energy, but it has a whole different approach, and it's much less activation than the rhythms. It's way more quiet and listening and giving words, also naming what is going on. And that's interesting with the rhythms, right? It's like an experience, and that's it then. And then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've definitely done less kind of other trainings or seeking in some of the ways that you've done. So labyrinths are something that I've always been really drawn to, you know, and I remember even on our first training going to the labyrinth in Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, and so sometimes I will include that in something that I'm doing, building a labyrinth and doing something with the group, and including that kind of contemplation thing. I've done some things like sand art with friends here, that's that kind of thing. I mean, I was a visual artist and I still am, really, and for a lot of years, especially when living in the woods, so really not having a lot of dry space or a lot of wall space or anything, I kind of really went into sketchbooks rather than working big. That's still been the main thing I've been doing, but I have started printmaking again sort of 30 years later than when we were talking about when I first was at art college, and that's been really nice to come out of the sketchbooks and to feel so rich with all these resources of everything I've been gathering for so many years that can then get moved into a different
And live music is also a big one for you, I think. You work a lot with live music, no?
Yeah, exactly. In different ways over the years. You know, my partner Joe's sort of, as you know, quite exceptional, crazy sort of percussionist, and my son as well. And but I've often really liked working with live music, but then I also really like being away on my own and without anyone I'm related to. And so I've got these two different, and also Joe doesn't really like flying or traveling in a lot of ways, so there's different strands have developed in that. And you know, like I suppose we're saying about different things in life, I mean, I've learned a certain amount of things around, say, you know, approaches to trauma and things through this volunteering with refugees.
Yes, I mean, we don't specifically need trainings, but I just know that my work is, I mean, I work a lot with the cycles of the seasons. Yeah. I work a lot with the elements, you know, fire, earth, water, air. So there is a lot of other resources that are coming in my work so that I be able to, yeah, for the people, there is a certain depth and a huge field of exploration
I think that's what's so exciting though, isn't it? With it's like that, you know, with the map of the five rhythms that I work with, all these, you know, related maps that you're working with as well as that one, there's a simplicity there, but they can open up to so much, you know.
Yeah.
And just even to find a slight renaming of something, or just a slightly different look at it. Last night I was including the flowing shadow in a class that I was doing, but I talked about it as laziness, which is a slightly different way of naming it, but it was funny, you know. I was saying, let's welcome our laziness, see if we can luxuriate in taking our time.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to see how people, like somebody said, oh, I've been lazy with one other person before, felt like we've both been in our lazy selves, but I've never been in a lazy self with a whole group of people. And so I just feel like sometimes there's ways to kind of just open things up slightly differently, and there's loads of discoveries or healing or you know, something that can keep things alive, because so much of it is kind of, it's shared humanity, isn't it, really, that we keep touching on, you know.
Beautiful. Yeah, that we think, oh, it's not just me.
Yes, exactly, again and again. Oh. Exactly. And do you feel like systemic ritual and things, is that mainly in certain workshops that you use that, or does that come through in all kinds of ways?
Well, in certain workshops I name it, that I make a combination, but of course it changes my way of watching a group, of seeing. And also it changes my way of making a connection with the field, included the invisible. So yeah. But in some workshops I really name like five rhythms and, you know, or open floor. And well, open floor I don't combine so much, actually. Open floor is more in itself. But systemic ritual and the rhythms is beautiful. And then I combine it with the seasons. I have this ongoing group here, like every equinox we have a workshop. And I really love it, because systemic ritual is more about holding a choreography. And then we pray, we sing, or I play some music. There is not a lot of movement. And you just let the energy flow the energy is able to flow in a different way, you know. If you're always used to stand like here with somebody here, or suddenly you go and look at each other instead of shoulder to shoulder, it's very simple.
Yeah.
But then to stand in that place and to feel a shift happening is really powerful. And through the dance, people are open up more, of course, because they already feel more in their body, they're more in their heart. So, So I really like, because then I can be creative with the seasons and with the elements and with the rituals and with the dance and, you know, and then la, 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 mix it all. And I love it. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, I'm going to ask you, you know, I know I'm talking in the five rhythms map here, but is there certain rhythms that have become your favorite or less favorite over the years? Because I'm just curious, because we've been so involved for so long. Has it changed how you identify with different rhythms?
You know, I had some physical problems in the last few years, actually. I hope they'll be over soon.
Yeah.
So, and of course, my body is changing as well over the years. So, so my dance is changing. So I think, therefore, that I'm less, no, not less, but therefore I'm connected in a different way with the rhythms. It's more like like energy wise. You remember when Gabrielle, you know, she just did one movement and the whole group was in awe because that one movement had so much power and so much intensity. And I think the more and more I understand it, and I feel that in my own body as well. So sometimes I can still be sad sometimes that I cannot have that full-on blown away chaos and kind of like, yeah, you know. And then, but then luckily enough, there is other younger people on the floor who can do that.
Yeah.
So that's not really answering your questions. So that's the whole map. And no, I think each rhythm has so much depth and so much. I mean, there's so much in me. I can't even talk about. I really see through the lens of the five rhythms. I mean, maybe that's a bit scary, but that's.
Yeah,
that is a bit
true. Like you're right in the essence of them all or something.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting into that wise phase of my life now. The woman in the 50s.
I'm in my wise phase, yeah.
but I'm more mean it's like the a woman in their 50s. You know, come on, Alex, yeah. You can do it. own it.
Well, I do seem to like stillness a lot more than I used to. I didn't used to rest there long before I'd be, back in restless again. And I definitely crave it a lot more, I suppose. So some of these things are interesting. But then I had friends my age who during the pandemic kind of just really got like, oh, I've realized all I want to do is be in my garden, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I really want to go to loads of cities and do stuff and be with people. And I'm in some ways, I'm not totally in this yet.
I remember years ago I went on a vision quest, you know, 4 days and nights in nature, and I remember thinking, when I ever get out of here, I'm never gonna sit still in my life again. Yeah. No, that's changing. It's for the first time in my life actually that I live on my own, you know, the last 3 years. And that is because if you say what rhythm, I mean, living on your own, of course, I have more time to listen to myself and my own rhythm. I think I'm very like flowing, lyrical, still. Chaos is all over as well, but. No, I know them all now, staccato also. I know how to do it. I know how to get behind my laptop and get things done. Yeah. Make that phone call. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Well, I don't know how we're doing for time. Feels like we've maybe been talking for a while, doesn't it?
I don't know either. Can you not see it somewhere?
Yeah, but I forgot when we began. It's 3:30.
No, it's definitely 45 minutes. Definitely. Okay.
Well, have we got anything we want to say as we finish then, I suppose?
No, I hope that the people who listen enjoy as much as I did. It was really, really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, such a lot of warmth and shared experience, shared enjoyment. Yeah, absolutely lovely. And just love to everybody's dancing feet, and hope we still get out there and meet loads of new dancers, eh?
Yes. Lots of love. Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
Bye.